Don't let it say it messed up your weekend. We just blessed with God's liquid sunshine. And before I forget, congratulations to John and Bonnie, the seventh great-granddaughter. Seven great-granddaughter, great-granddaughters. Somebody need to break the streak. Seven of them, great-granddaughters. So I know they're happy with that, so I didn't want to forget that while it was on my mind. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I want to deal with something that we all deal with from time to time. And one of Satan's greatest tactics. And when I get there, we're going to talk about it. Because we all struggle with this from time to time. And just to let you know, this is how Satan always attacks me. Maybe not you. Maybe comes at you some other way. Luke chapter 10, we're going to begin at verse 38. We're going to read down through the end of the chapter, which is at 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And it reads as such. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Subject title, Distracted by Good. Distracted by Good. Now, just about 2 minutes ago, I said, this is oftentimes how Satan works on me. Because, see, sometimes we see bad stuff coming from a mile away. But that's oftentimes not how Satan comes at us. He oftentimes will put in our lives so many things that are not necessarily bad, but that the most important things get crowded out. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, you'll look around in your life and your plate becomes so full of good things that even God gets crowded out of your life. And church, that's just as bad as not having God in your life in the first place. Satan doesn't always come at you with bad stuff because your spirit of discernment has come to the point where you are able to see that coming from a mile away. But maybe you're just like Martha, who've gotten busy with the cares of this world, who've gotten busy with making a living, who've gotten busy with just living, so much so that God is no longer number one in your life, that God is no longer a part of your life, that God, you fit God in when you have time for him. You fit God in when there's nothing left to do. You fit God in when you have the energy for him. You fit God in when you feel bad. You fit God in when maybe things are starting to go bad in your life. You fit God in when your relationships aren't going right. You fit God in when you realize you don't have enough money at the end of the month to pay your bills. Then you decide to turn to God. But see, it didn't start off that way. It started off with you just living life. It started off with you just going to work every day. It started off with you just enjoying your weekends. And maybe, just maybe, you know what? I deserve a weekend or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight. I deserve this. What's wrong with working the extra shift? What's wrong with going fishing? What's wrong with enjoying the fruits of my labor? And sooner or later, you're distracted by good. Now, I'm going to show you what happens when we see these things. As Christians, we have many responsibilities that are not wrong in and of themselves. So that's what happens to us a lot of times. These are not things that are wrong, because God wants us to work. God wants us to enjoy the fruits of our labor, but not to the point where God is crowded out of our lives. As parents, as spouses, as children, as employees, as folks who just like life. But where does God fit in all of that? Yet sometimes what is good can get in the way of what's better. Case study. What in the world was wrong with Martha serving Jesus? She was the one, matter of fact, invited him into her house. This was not the first time. Jesus was a constant guest. What is wrong with taking care of Jesus' physical needs? What is wrong with whipping up Jesus a good meal in the kitchen? What is wrong with making sure that the master was comfortable? What is wrong with making sure he had a nice place to come and maybe the house smelled good? What is wrong with that? But I want you to notice something. Should it be at the expense of listening to what he said? Should it be at the expense of sitting at the master's feet? But notice the stress it caused in Martha's life. She was stressed to the max. She turned around and said this. Matter of fact, she got mad at God because there was so much stress in her life. And she says this in verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered. Now, bad enough, she would start off great, and it was great things. She invited Jesus into her house, but instead of looking at it as a blessing, it became a burden. You ever start off on something good like that and had good intentions, and a blessing became a burden? Happens in life sometimes. The best intentions sometimes, blessings sometimes become burdens. This is what happened to Martha. So let's talk about Martha for a minute. Great heart. She's a servant. She wanted to please folks, and that was her gift. And we all have gifts. But sometimes servants and folks who will get that, I mean, really define themselves by serving others, take too much stuff onto their plates. And when that happens, bitterness sets in. Resentment sets in. And that underneath tone starts to change. Can you see Martha here in this picture? Can you see Martha saying, well, you know what? I invited him in, but somebody could help me clean this place up. Somebody could fry a leg of chicken too. Somebody could help me mash these potatoes because folks keep coming in because Jesus didn't travel by himself. So Jesus came in. He traveled with 12 other people, didn't he? So it wasn't by himself. So Jesus didn't come by himself probably, right? So you think Martha looked around and said, I got to cook for 13 of them? Really? And my lazy, good-for-nothing sister is sitting on her you-know-what, not helping me. So not only she got a problem with Jesus, now she got a problem with Mary. So that's what oftentimes what happens when your plate gets too full. You start to look around at everybody else and resent them too. You see how this grows. So now she's mad at Jesus for not telling Mary to get up and help her. Whew. I want you to see how it grows. And she started off with good intentions. And if you've never been there, all I like to say is keep living. Because I know I have. I lived on this street for many a day. You start off with good things. You start off with good intentions. And you look around and, man, it seems like you're the only one doing something and moving. And you know what? That little red wagon gets heavy, doesn't it? And as, you know, one of my mentors said, if you're not going to push the wagon, at least don't drag your feet off the back of it. Just pick your feet up. That'll help me out a little bit. Just don't drag your feet off the back of it. But there's some folks in life who will intentionally drag. Y'all don't tell me I'm the only one. Don't tell me I'm the only one in life that got some folks that not only not going to help you push, they're going to stick their feet off the back of the wagon and drag just to be funny. Maybe it's just me. I'm talking to myself this morning, I guess. But I'm telling you, there are folks in life like that. And there's some folks who do it unintentionally because guess what? They laughing to have a good time because they ain't pushing in the first place. Now, do we see Martha's situation here? So she turns around when the load gets heavy. And she done fried about 15 pieces of chicken, maybe. She done fixed about 15 pieces of salad. Done ran out of iced tea, because everybody thirsty. Ain't got no more. Everybody's doing it. And she looks around at Mary. And says, "Lord, you ain't gonna make her get up and help me? Really, Lord? Really? That's what it's all about." But if Jesus caused that problem, then Mary caused that problem. Was there anything wrong with Martha's intentions? Sometimes we get distracted by good. Martha was distracted. She became distracted by much service. The Son of God, the Messiah, come to her house. There were likely others besides her. She naturally wanted Mary to help, and there's nothing wrong with that. But who chose to serve? It was Martha who chose that path. Oftentimes, the choices we make are our choices. Let me say it again. The choices we make are our choices. It is oftentimes unfair for other folks to make the same choices we do. But that's oftentimes not what happens, is it? We get mad because somebody else doesn't make the same choice we do. And that gets us on fire. We start to burn from the inside out. If somebody's not like us, if somebody's not as gung-ho, as zealous about what we're about as we are, boy, that sets us on fire. If somebody don't like to cook the same way we do, that sets us on fire. Somebody don't like to be as hospitable as we do, boy, we get mad. But that's you. That was Martha. She did that. She began to worry and be troubled about many things. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, but I want you to see how it took her peace away. It took her joy away from even serving. Now, she was a servant, and we all have different gifts. But she was distracted so much by good that she didn't even find any joy in serving anymore. So what good was it doing Martha at this point? None. So when you think about your gift and what you like to do, has it become a burden yet? And when did you cross that line? When did you no longer enjoy doing what you love to do? And what happened? When did you cross that line? What happened to you? Who took it from you? You see, sometimes in life, we allow folks and situations and circumstances to rob us of our peace and joy. Somebody once said, if somebody's always getting you goat, maybe you need to stop telling where you had your goat at. Because my Bible and yours says, Christ gives us a joy that the world didn't give, and the world shouldn't be able to take it away. Your peace should be in God, not in anybody else. If you have no peace and joy in your life, maybe you placed it in the wrong person or the wrong things in the first place. It shouldn't be in anybody else. Maybe, Martha's whole self-worth was wrapped up in serving others. What y'all think? When your whole self-worth is wrapped up in pleasing others, you about to crash and come crumbling down. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to let you down. Sooner or later, somebody's not going to appreciate it. Sooner or later, somebody's going to take that for granted. Sooner or later, somebody's going to spit in your face with it. Sooner or later, somebody's going to throw it back up in your face. If you're not doing it for the master, it's not going to turn out well. I'm here to tell you. You may say, yeah, they appreciate it now. Keep living. I've seen it before. I've done it before. I've been down this road before. I'm telling you, it's a dead end. It may be running smooth now, but it's a dead end. Trust Curtis Parker on that one. It's a dead end. So whatever we do, as I talked about Wednesday night, what I do for the glory of the master. If you're doing it for anybody else, if you're doing it for folks to accept and like you, wrong reason. If you're doing it so you can feel better about yourself, wrong reason. If you're doing it to really please others, wrong reason. That's only going to get you about so far down the road. Maybe Martha had that problem. Mary, on the other hand, it looked like she was the lazy for no good for nothing sister who wasn't working. But she was actually more disciplined than her sister Martha was. How can you say that all she was doing was sitting down listening? But notice who she was listening to. She was listening to the one who had the words of eternal life. She was listening to the one that was not even, really had the words that could change her whole life. She was listening to the one that could give her peace in spite of her situations. She was listening to the one that no matter what happened in this world, she could sleep at night. She was listening to the one that no matter how this world treated her, she could still keep her joy intact. Who are you listening to today? You listening to the world? Or you listening to the master? Which one are you listening to? Name the two sources. Because if you listen to the world, no wonder you're full of anxiety. You think about our world today. You think about all the garbage and negativity you hear when you turn on the TV. It is ridiculous. There's nothing positive on TV. This one's talking about that one. That one's talking about this one. That's what you're feeding your mind with? Are you sitting at the feet of the master? Because he got some good stuff to tell you. This ain't nothing new what we're going through these days. Are you listening to the master? Be careful who you give your ears to. I tell you some folks all the time. I tell you some folks, be careful. If that's some folks you run into, you is fine until you run into this certain person. That's some folks that can sap you of your joy and peace real quick. Real quick. Mary was disciplined. She was sitting at the feet with the ancient posture, with her legs crossed, of a disciplined learner. She chose the one thing that was needed. Not saying those other things were not important, but oftentimes we have to learn to prioritize. If we never prioritize, no wonder you're running around life like a chicken with your head cut off. No wonder your life In your life, all you feel like you're doing is putting out fires. No wonder you never get any peace. No wonder your to-do list seems to be growing exponentially. No wonder you can't go to sleep at night because you feel like you got something else to do in the morning. No wonder you take your job home with you. No wonder you get up and wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning talking about, oh, I forgot to do something at work. Why? It's going to be there when you get back. Ain't nobody else going to do it but you. What you worried about it for? That's what God wants you to live 24/7 on? Your body's not meant to deal with that kind of stress in your life. There's a chemical in our body. It's called cortisol. That's supposed to be implemented. That's supposed to be on in short spurts. Your body is not supposed to operate with cortisol on in 24/7. It will fry you from the inside out. That's what gives us that a reaction of fight or flight. That's supposed to be in short bursts in extreme terms of danger. It's not supposed to be on 24/7. You wonder why you're jittery all the time and nervous? Why? Because you got cortisol running through your system 24/7. That's not how we're supposed to operate, folks. But if that's your state, if you're always worried about what folks think and say about you, that's going to keep cortisol in your system at all times. I promise you that. Why should you care what other folks think about you? You can't control it. You can't control what they say about you either. So what in the world are you doing worried about it for? Why are you losing sleep over it? been down that road too. That's another dead-end road. Maybe Martha had this problem too. Maybe she was so worried that that was a dust bunny on the bookshelf. Maybe she was so worried that maybe the chicken wasn't quite done at the bone. Maybe she was so worried that she turned the sweet tea into liquid diabetes. Maybe she was so worried that a fork had a little speck of dirt on it. Maybe she was so worried that somebody was going to the bathroom, and lo and behold, her toilet wasn't spotless, so spotless they could eat off of. What does that have to do with anything? See, but Mary chose that good part. She chose things that eternal consequences. What about us today? Are we ourselves distracted by things that may be good in themselves? We have duties. Make no mistake about it. As husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, we have duties in our communities, on our jobs. But please don't let that take precedence in our lives. Because what's going to happen is you're going to lose out in the end. God's not going to ask you how many vacations you took. He's not going to ask you how many extra hours you worked. He's not going to ask you how much money you made. He is going to ask you what you did in my name, though. And there's no way that I see in my Bible and probably yours, unless you write it in there, that you're going to be able to use as an excuse. Well, you know, Lord, I had all these other things to do, and I just didn't have time. You know my busy schedule, Lord. You know I had a busy. Because see, the Bible talks about the fact of the cares of this world choking out the word of God in your life. You know what's included in the cares of this world? Everything this world cares about that comes before God. That's what's included. Because anything you put before God, let me say this again, anything you put before God is your God. What makes it an idol God. And my Bible and yours, it says that specifically in the New Old Testament, but it's definitely inferred in the New Testament, God says that there be no idol gods before me. And he meant what he said. Family cannot come before God. Work cannot come before God. We cannot become distracted before God. And then it has some personal repercussions. Worry, anxiety goes through the roof. We become stressed to the max. We find ourselves like Esau, selling our inheritance for a bowl of morsel. You and I have an inheritance, but make no mistake about it. We can sell them cheap, and we can sell it cheap. Many of us today have decided to sell our inheritance at a spiritual flea market. Now, I love flea markets. I'm up there as much as I can get, and you can find some deals. But we ought not see anybody sold at this flea market. We ought not see anybody's heavenly crown at the flea market. But that's what it looks like many times. What about yours? Are we disciplined like Mary to seek that which is better? There was nothing wrong with Mary cleaning up the house. There was nothing wrong with her doing that. But the master was there. She did right to drop everything because Jesus was there. What about you? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus taught the value of choosing the good part. And he says, when you do that, everything else will line up. That's what he says in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then as a result of doing it my way and putting me first, all these things shall be added unto you. Most folks got it backwards because they say stuff like this. You know what? When I get my life right, when I straighten myself out, then I'll go to God. What kind of foolishness is that? Because you know what you just told Satan? I'm going to make sure you never get yourself straightened out. I'm going to make sure that your life is so filled with good stuff and bad stuff that you never see your way out, whichever way you want it. I can't get you with bad stuff. I'm going to make sure you get filled with so many toys and trinkets and junk that you never, ever make your way to God. That's what he's saying. That's what you're telling Satan when you profess that. But that's what he promised. He promises that. He promises his providential care when you do that. He promises to meet your needs, because that's what that whole chapter is about. Then you don't have to worry about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, where you'll sleep, what you wear, if you put him first. He's going to take care of all that. Peace and joy is in that when you put him first that the world can't give. If we're disciplined enough to make the proper choice, we'll find ourselves almost completely free of anxiety, stress, and emotional despondency. If your life is full of it now, my question is why? You may say, well, Brother Parker, you don't understand what I'm dealing with, but I'm here to tell you, everybody got problems. My question is, what you doing with them? And why you still got them? That must mean that you decide to give them to keep them yourself. Because my Bible and yours says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, give me your burdens and you take mine. That's what it says. And I'm going to take him up on it. How about you? He didn't mean for his children to be walking around here burdened down with stress and anxiety. And if you do, let me say this. You may get mad at me, but I love you. It must be your choice. And that's heavy. Why didn't you? Let me explain that. If he says you can do these things, I'm telling you, he must mean what he says. God is not in the business of lying. But I want you to examine how you got them. I want you to examine whether you play in the role of Martha or Mary. And then I want you to take him up on what he says in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Are you seeking him first? The kingdom of God. And the second part of that is his righteousness. Are you trying your best to live a righteous life? And then are you letting him add those things back into you? Now, I'm not saying you won't have moments of stress and anxiety. That's just part of life. But we shouldn't be living a life full of stress and anxiety. That's what I'm saying. Everybody deals with it. Christ dealt with it. But it didn't consume him. I can tell you that. And God doesn't want us living that type of life. He died so we wouldn't have to. That's what he dies for. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That places into Christ Jesus. That's the beginning process. That's us really realizing that I'm tired of doing things my way. My way ain't working. My way is like Martha. I'm running around here and stressed to the max, and I'm busy and ain't getting nowhere, and man, this ain't working out. You know what? Sometimes we guys learn to tap out. Just admit it. That's what it is. Just admit your way ain't working. It's okay. Everybody has to do it. That's what it takes. And then say, I want to do things your way, God. He'll fix it. But you got to learn to turn loose. Sometimes it's so scary. We so used to controlling stuff. We so scared to turn loose the wheel. But you've been running your wheels and your car into the ditch for how many years you've been on this road. Your car is so banged up and so out of line now because you've been trying to drive it. Everybody else who tried to drive it, you move them out of the way and you run into the next ditch. Give it over to somebody who knows what they're doing, who somebody can keep you on the straight and narrow. That's what it means to give your life to God. And then from time to time, we still mess up. We still need forgiveness of sins. And he's given us that second law of pardon, which is the law of repentance. So if you have one desire or the other to put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, we ask you to please come forward as we sing a verse of.